morning you're ready, that your heart is open to hear from Him, your heart is open to learn from Him.
Rabu Kuboshin, the Karashi, Idibanabanda, Karabushi, Idiba, Yerakabaka, Sandarabashana, Karabus, and Dalaraba. Indeed, He is worthy. There is no other name in heaven and on earth that we've been given by which we must be saved than the name of Jesus. Sharabande, Kereboko, Sarabarabashi. The name that is above every other name, that at the mention of the name of Jesus, every knee in heaven and on earth must bow, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Things in this earth, things in the heavens, things under the earth, things under the sea, things that are going to come in this world and in the age to come. He was given a name, a throne, an office that is above every other name, and He's seated with us. Far above all thrones, all powers, all principalities, all works of darkness, He is above, far above. And He's sitting there for the church of God. I thank you, Jesus. Thank you that, Lord, you have called us to virtue and glory. You have called us to your power. You've called us to be partakers of your divine nature, oh God. You've called us to experience the goodness of being a son. Call us to be beloved. May your name be praised, be worshipped, and be glorified. Our hearts are ready. May you speak to us this afternoon in a language that we understand. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You're welcome to have your seat. Hallelujah. It is good to see all of you. And I pray that you shall not leave the same way you came. Tell your neighbor it's not an accident you are here. You came by divine plan of God. You came by the divine purpose of God. And your life will never be the same again. Say, my life shall never, ever be the same again. Hallelujah. Indeed, it's great to be part of this ministry. And for those who are meeting for the first time, my name is Emmanuel Roba. I love the Lord as my personal Savior. I'm married, one wife, I'm blessed with a daughter, and I'm one of the pastors here. I pray that God will bless you. Amen. Amen. And also to extend an invitation, on Fridays there's also a youth and teenagers meeting that has started, that will be taking place in Nyakoron from 4:30. So you're welcome this Friday to be in the amphitheater, and it is led by our brother Bojo, Emmanuel Bojo. So those who are available on Friday in Nyakoron, join us there, and we'll also be sharing God's word in that session. Amen. Yeah, so today we shall be looking at God's Word, and this is a continuation of the teaching of last week. And last week we started answering the question, who is the Son of God? Who is the Son of God? Amen. And we said that the Son of God is the manifestation of the person of God appearing in human flesh. The Son of God is the manifestation of the person of God appearing in human flesh for the revelation of the invisible God to the visible creation. And why did we say that? We say that we know the Bible has spoken to us that God is spirit. And spirit does not have flesh. Human beings are physical. Spirit does not have the material of matter, mass, weight. Human beings want to touch. If you tell me that I am speaking to you and you don't see me, someone will say you are mad. If you go and see a doctor and you say there are people speaking to me, what is the first thing they say? Some wires are loose, right? Yeah? You need to tighten some bolts there. Why? Because God is spirit. Now, God knew that for him to reveal himself to his creation, because God had already made the heavens, which was also spiritual, immaterial, then he decides that he will also make a physical world which is on the earth. Now, for him to make himself visible, the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. So the Word was made flesh. Now, when that Word became flesh, it entered the womb of Mary. Now, that was God becoming a man so that men can know the invisible God. And we see that Jesus, when he comes as the Son of God, Hebrews chapter 1 tells us that he is the image of the invisible God. He is the exact expression of his person. And we say the word image there in Greek is character. And we say character is a word that was used to describe like an actor. For example, if you see someone who acted the movie of Idi Amin, he looks the same exactly as Idi Amin. And he has faced problems in some places because they say he must be the one, they want to arrest him. He said, no, I'm just an actor. But because, like, give an example. Right now, there have been so many people who have acted Jesus. Huh? True or false? Now, if someone comes and acts Jesus with bald head, they will say, no, he's not the one. Why? Because they have portrayed the image of Jesus to be this white man with long hair, with a beard here. And there's someone who acted, and everywhere he goes, people call him Jesus. They want to take pictures with him. And he says, I am not the one. But he became the image. But now, Jesus, being the Son of God, is the exact image of the Father. That means that if you want to see God, you see Jesus. Okay? Are we agreeing in that? He is the exact image of the invisible God. The second thing that we say, that he is in very nature God. He is of the same substance, that is the nature, the likeness, the power, and is equal to God, and he is one with God. That means that when we read Philippians chapter 2 verse 5, it says that let this mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, in very nature God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking on the form of a bond servant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, those in heaven, those on the earth, those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So, the second thing that we say, he is in very nature God. That means the Bible telling us Jesus, he was equal to God. In fact, when he's praying, he said, Father, glorify me with the same glory I had with you. He says, I have manifested you to the ones you gave me. Except the one door for destruction. The ones you gave me, I have shown them who I am and who you are. In fact, he says that everything that I do, I only do what I see my Father does. So when Jesus was walking on the earth, they would ask him, why was this man born blind? Because God was with them. And Jesus tells them, this man was not born blind because he sinned or because his parents sinned, but he was born blind so that the works of God may be glorified in his life. Now, the glory of the blind man is not in his blindness, but in his healing. So you're not going to say, because I am sick, it is glorifying God. It is your healing that brings glory to God. Because people like giving excuses. He said that this man was born blind so that the works of God may be revealed in his life and that the God may be glorified in his life. And you see, when that man, his eyes opened and they asked him, who healed him? The first time he said, I don't know. But the man who healed me, he anointed my eyes with mud and he told me to go and wash. And when I washed, you see what he did? He took mud and he formed it. He formed it into an eyeball. And then he put it in the eyes of the socket of the man. You know, nowadays they give people fake eye sockets, eh? Plastic eyes. Now, Jesus did not make plastic. It was not Chinese. He took the real man the same way he did in the day of creation. Because it is Jesus who did creation. Because the Bible says nothing was made without him. Everything was made by him and for him. You see, when the Father speaks, it is the word that goes. Now that word is Christ. That word is Jesus Christ. So that word, he was now showing us how he created Adam. He took man. He formed the eye. He put it in the eye socket of the man. And he told him, go and wash. Now that was, he was demonstrating that I am God. So Jesus, on the earth, he was God in the flesh. That is why we call him the Son of God. Okay? The Son of God. Son of God does not mean that he is inferior to God. No, he is equal to God. He is of the same nature, the same substance, the same likeness. He has the same glory as God. But he is the executor of the will of God. He is the one that steps out of eternity into the created world. So God said, let us make man in our image and likeness. Then when he said that, the one who is Jesus goes. But before he goes, there is the Spirit of God who fills all things. The Spirit of God fills all things. He is in everything. He is everywhere. And the Bible said the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And when God spoke, the Father is the source. He spoke. And then the Word went out. Who is the Word? Jesus. That's why the Bible says the Word became flesh. That is why you see Jesus even in the Old Testament. Why? Because God came to Abraham. And Abraham saw this man, three men coming to him. As he was praying by the tent, he sees three men coming to him. And he says, please enter. Let me cook something for you. And he brings a young goat. He kills it. He prepares it. He makes some bread. He cooks it. He gives them. And God eats them. So it is Jesus who comes in the flesh with two angels. And they sit. They eat. And then he tells Abraham, by this time next year, I will come. And your wife Sarai will have, Sarah will have a child. And Sarah was, what was she doing? Listening by the tent. It seems this habit is common among women. They pretend they're in the kitchen, but their ears are in the side room. So she was listening. And when she heard, what did she do? She laughed. And God asked, why did Sarah laugh? And Sarah said, I did not laugh, just like any of us would say. Why? Because we are children before God. And God said, you laughed, but nevertheless, what is impossible with God? So, when we are meeting God, we are meeting the world of impossibilities becoming possible. That which is impossible for us to understand. How can God be three in one and yet he is one? Now, this is the place where we enter the impossibilities of God. That is why we worship him. We worship him. Now, we will see a deep mystery of God today, but I will take it slowly. So, first, then God says, can I hide this thing from my friend Abraham? And because this man would be a great man. When God calls you a friend, he cannot hide things from you. He cannot hide it. He just says, this thing is so nice, I have to tell someone. That's why the Bible says the secret things belong to God, but the things revealed are for us and our children. There are things that God wants to reveal to his children. And the reason you are here is because you are loved of God, that he wants to reveal these mysteries to you, that you understand. Don't think about who is not here. They are not going where you are going. Don't think about who has not come. They don't have the destiny that you carry. You have a destiny that in God, that if you are to fulfill it, even your own parents will say they don't know you. They will say, yes, I had a daughter, but this one is a woman of God. They say, I had a son. Yes, he was thinker, but this one I'm seeing, this one is an apostle. Why? Because you have ceased from being of your lineage. You are now begotten of God. The Bible says, he that is born of God overcomes the world. That word born of God, begotten of God, if you go to that word, is genial. It is the word for genealogy or genes, where genes come from. That means that you have received another order of genes in your body. The Bible says the first man was Adam. And everyone who sinned is under the order of Adam. But he says, but the second man and the last man is the second Adam, and the last Adam is Christ. That is why if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. That means that there are two kinds of men walking on earth today. There are those who are after the type of Adam. And when you are under the type of Adam, you are under sin, you are under the devil, you are under sickness, you are under generational curses, you are under witchcraft. Everything that defeated Adam defeats you. But then he said, but there is a second man who is called the new creation. Because the first man failed. The first man failed just because of food. And that is why the devil, when God brought another son of God, because the Bible tells us that Adam was the son of God. Adam the son of God. So now God brings another son of God. Who is this other son of God? He brings in Jesus. That's why he tells Mary that, Mary asks, how will this be since I don't know a man? He says, the Holy Spirit will overshadow you. And that baby to be found in your womb shall be called the Son of the Most High God. The same way that God made the first man is the same way that he comes to make the second man. So Jesus enters into the world not carrying the sin of Adam. But because this man, this earth is made for men, he has to bring him as a man. And the devil thinks, I defeated the first man with what? Food. So the first temptation he comes and says, Jesus, you are hungry, yes? Turn this stone into bread.
where many people fail because they cannot fast. You cannot overcome food. Eh? And you want to chase demons out. You cannot beat the flesh. When you go to cast out the devil says that you are my customer. Don't you watch pornography with me every night? Don't you think the devils can X-ray you? Go and try and cast out devils and you don't know who you are, you're not living in holiness. They will slap you first of all. And they start giving you your life history. Why? Because you are under their kingdom. But the Bible says that anyone that is born of God, he has translated us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. That means that you are no longer under the dominion of darkness. You are no longer under the control of the devil, but you have moved into another kingdom where you are under the kingdom of light and the kingdom of God. So this man who is in sin, who is under Adam, is different from the person who is made after the image of Christ. That is why we say this man that is under Christ is born again. That means that the first time he was born as Adam, born of flesh. That's why David says, in sin I was conceived. That means that from the moment I was born, I was sinful. Because anyone coming under Adam is sinful, is controlled by sinful nature. And the Bible says anyone that is under the flesh cannot please God. And the Bible says flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. So anyone of flesh and blood is a living soul. But then when you come under Christ, the Bible says you are now born of water, which is the word of God. And you are born of the Spirit. So the word of God, the Bible says the seed is the word of God. So you receive the seed of God, which is the word of God. You have been gotten of the will of God, of the imperishable seed of God. That seed of God that cannot perish, that gives you eternal life. Then, on top of that, he says, he gives you, makes you alive in your spirit. Then, you are no longer a living soul. Christ is made a life-giving spirit. That means that you are given life. What kind of life is this? This life is eternal life. A life that has no beginning, a life that has no end. That means that when you come to Christ, you enter into the realm of eternity. That means that God can show you what he did in the beginning. That means that he says that before I formed you, I knew you. Before I put you in your mother's womb, I knew you. And I called you and I set you apart to be a prophet unto the nations. Now, this man that is made born again has received the seed of God, which is the word of God, and has also received the Spirit of God. Now, this new creation is a human being on the earth, yes, but is one that carries the presence of God in them. Is one that carries the life of God in them. Is one that carries the nature of righteousness in them. That's what the Bible says. He that is born of God cannot continue sinning. Why? Because you are no longer under the chains of the devil. Because you are not under Adam. But you are a new creation in Christ. Now this new creation is the one that can defeat the devil. Why? Because Jesus defeated the devil. He overcame sin. He overcame death. That is why, as a new creation, you have power over sin. As a new creation, you cannot be a slave of sin. You are made a slave of righteousness. You see, when you are under the world, you want to do good things, but you cannot. Paul was saying, the good I want to do, I find myself not doing. The bad I don't want to do, I find that I do. He says, who shall save me from this body of death? Then he says, but thanks be to Jesus Christ. He says there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, because the power of the life-giving spirit, the law of the spirit of life, has set them free from the law of sin and death. The new creation is not a slave of sin. That means that as a new creation, you cannot be an addict of pornography. You cannot be an addict of sin. No. What happens? When you're a new creation, you are given a new nature. The sinful nature was cut out. When the Bible says the sinful nature was circumcised, when something is circumcised, means that it was cut out. So you are not the old man. Sinful nature is controlling them. They wake up, they want to pray, they start praying, they sleep. The new man, the moment he just starts, because the new man has another language. The old man cannot speak in tongues. If they try, it is fake. The new man is given a new language. The new man has a new language, a language taught by the Spirit. That's why Paul says that we teach not in words taught by humans, but in words taught by the Spirit. We speak a message of wisdom among those who are wise. Christ is made your wisdom. He's made your righteousness. He's made your holiness. That is why the new man is made in the image of Christ. So, when you go to face the devil as a new man, who he sees, he meets Jesus Christ. Because the Bible says that your real life is now hidden in Christ. I am hidden in Christ, and Christ is hidden in God. That means the devil, when he's looking for you, he's trying to look for Ayasi, but he's seeing Jesus, and he goes back. He's looking for the witches. They are trying to find you at night. The snakes are trying to come, but they can't. They see that you are finding Jesus. Let's go back. We don't want judgment. When the Bible says your life is hidden in Christ, that means that even sickness that was supposed to follow your lineage of the Mundaris, maybe the Mundaris have a sickness of eyes. Now that disease knows that I follow this family. Diabetes knows that I follow this family. But then when it comes looking for you, where is Amin? There is no Amin here. Why? Because that Amin became a new man under Christ. He received a new nature. He received a new name. He is no longer a dinker. He is a son of God. Your genes were changed. Your name was changed. Your nature was changed. That is why temptation to a new creation is from the outside, not from the inside. The devil to a new creation is a hawker. He brings to you, do you want to steal this phone? Say, no. Why should I steal it? Okay. He walks away. You're browsing Facebook. He shows you a picture of the naked guy. Do you want to continue seeing? No. I block. But the old man, do you want to steal the phone? Even before he wants, he has already stolen it. He's in the pocket. Abunam. The story of the Abuna Lakam. The Abuna went to preach in the hospital and the nurse left the phone there. And the Abuna, because he is not yet a new creation, he is still in the flesh. He saw the phone and disappeared with it. The nurse was thinking that the pastor is there, so the phone is safe. But not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of God. So it's not everyone who is lifting, singing very, very nice soprano in the choir that is born again. You will marry them, then you discover you married the devil. And since you married a son of the devil, that means your father-in-law is
the devil.
That means your father-in-law can visit you any time, and you have to welcome them with good food. So that is why you cannot marry just anyone you choose. Just because your parents want you to marry this person because they have 100 cows, you must ask, is that person a new creation? Who is their father? Not their earthly father. Who is their father? Spiritual. Is he a child of God or is he a child of the devil? Because whoever you marry becomes, their father becomes your father-in-law. You're laughing. It's true. Now imagine, even worse, the Bible says you are dead in sins. That means that if you're marrying an unbeliever, you're marrying a corpse. You're marrying a dead body. And that is why when you come and cry, oh, pastor, he slapped me. I say, what did you expect? Because the person has the nature of flesh. Flesh reacts with boxes. When flesh is angered, it boxes. But when the new man is angered, he remembers the word said, be angry and do not sin. And he said, do not let the sun go down on your anger. And he's told that the works of sinful nature is fits of rage. And the new nature says, I cannot be angry like this. My nature is to forgive. And when you marry a new creation, he even forgives even before you have asked for forgiveness. You learn to forgive in advance. Why? Because God has already forgiven you even in advance. The Bible says that while you were yet sinners, he died for you. He did not even wait for you to believe. He already put the provision. Believe in me, your sins are forgiven. I make you a new creature. I make you a son of God. God's desire is to have sons. The reason he put Adam on the earth, he put him as his son. God was tired. He was bored. He was bored of just being in the heavens alone. He said, why don't I have another family? These angels are there. They are just obeying everything I say. Let me make someone like me to teach them something. Because the Bible says that the reason the church is there is to teach the principalities and powers the manifold wisdom of God. That means that angels today are learning about God from you. Because the angels, they can't see God. They just cover their faces to God. That is why the Bible says when Jesus appeared, the angels came and celebrated because they said, hey, there is God. 2 Timothy 3:16. Then without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness, that he was manifested in the flesh. He was vindicated by the Spirit. He was seen by angels. He was preached on to the nations, and he was believed on in the world, and he was taken up to glory. That is, God was manifested in the flesh as a man. Then, when he was manifested in the flesh, the Holy Spirit has to confirm that he is the Son of God. And that is why anyone who does not have any confirmation of the Spirit in them, you are not yet born again. Because you have to be born of the Spirit to be born again. It is the Spirit of God coming into your spirit. And then what happens is becomes, there's something that we call the intermingled spirit. That means your human spirit is joined with the Spirit of God, and your human spirit becomes made alive. And is any person who is not of God, they are dead. Their spirits are dead. Just like Adam, when he sinned, he died spiritually. But when you are born of God, the Spirit of God enters your spirit. And the Bible says that he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. And that is why when God is in your spirit, he will teach you what to do. You just wake up and you know you need to pray. No one told you how to pray. The Bible says the anointing within you, it teaches you all things. You know all things. God has already given you the wisdom. Who is the wisdom? Christ himself. He gives you wisdom. Then he gives you understanding. Then after understanding, he gives you knowledge. With God, wisdom starts. Wisdom is Christ himself. He enters you. Then he gives you understanding. Then you start to understand. So the voice I had in me telling me to go and visit my friend. So that was the voice of God telling me. Because you went to your friend and your friend said, actually, I was thinking of you. I needed someone to encourage me. Then you start to listen to that voice inside you. You understand that this is not my thoughts. This is someone living inside me. The Son of God is living inside me. He is resident in my spirit. And since he is inside my spirit, when he speaks to me, and when I am in the spirit, I am not living according to the flesh, I can hear his voice. The new creation cannot live in sin. Why? Because you are not under the control of sin. That is why there is a difference between falling into sin and living in sin. Falling into sin is you, someone steps on you and before you reacted, your flesh just jumped out and abused the guy. Well, like but living in sin is you calculate. You estimate on Sunday by 12 a.m. or 12 p.m. everyone has gone. Oh, I can invite my boyfriend. That one is living in sin. You did not just fall into sin. You planned, you premeditated, you organized, you made sure the room was clear for sin. That one is living in sin. You are in the flesh. That is flesh. The Bible says that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. So, when you believe in Jesus, he gives you his spirit. And his spirit comes to enter you. And the Bible says you are born again. Now, anyone that is born again becomes a son of God. John chapter 1, verse 11, the Bible says that he came, 12. He came to those who were his own, yet his own did not receive him. Yet to those who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave them the power to become sons of God. That means that when you believe in Christ that he is the Son of God, he gives you the power, and that word power there is exousia in Greek, which means the authority to become a son of God. That means that becoming a son of God is an authority. That is why it is when you are the son of God, you see, when the demons saw Jesus, they asked, what have you come to do with us, son of God? They saw that this is their final judge coming to cast them out. And that's why when you believe in him, he gives you the power. That power is an authority to become a son of God. That's why he says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Jesus was saying, after he said it is finished, after he resurrected, he said, now all authority, where? In heaven and on earth, has been given to me. Therefore, you go. That means that the authority is now given to you. The authority of where? Of heaven and on earth. That's That's why he said, whatsoever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. You are the one that have the keys to your own future. You're just not using them. The Bible says creation is groaning in expectation for the manifestation of the sons of God. That means that your world, your community, your destiny, your future is crying and saying, when will this Son of God become the Son of God so that I can be set free? We like to blame people for what has not happened to us and why we are not where we should be. But the answer lies with you. Do you know who you are? Do you know the authority that you carry as a son of God? That Jesus was showing us that everything I did as a son of God on the earth, you too can do. Everything I did as a son of God, you too can do. He found the paralytic man. And instead of healing him, he says, your sins are forgiven. Then they ask, who are you that you even forgive sins? Now let me show you an interesting verse when we are there on forgiving sins. Go to Luke. Sorry, just a second. Go to John chapter 20. John chapter 20, verse 21 to 23. The Bible says, so Jesus said to them again, peace to you, as the Father sent me, has sent me, I also send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, what? Receive the Holy Spirit. Verse 23 is our key verse. He says, if you, who is he telling? You that have received the Holy Spirit, if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are not retained. So Jesus was saying, when I was on the earth, the paralytic man, I told him, your sins are forgiven. Now he's telling his disciples, receive the Holy Spirit. Then he tells them, you now, if you forgive someone, they are forgiven. If you don't forgive them, they are not. So Jesus, everything that he did, if you believe him, you also can do. Why? Because through his Spirit, the same Spirit that came on him on the day of Pentecost, sorry, on the day of his baptism, is the same Spirit that comes on you when you believe in him. The same Holy Spirit. You didn't receive a smaller Holy Spirit. You receive the same Spirit of God. That's why Romans 8:14 says that for those who are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. That means that you have to submit yourself to the Spirit of God and say, Spirit of God, I don't want my own way. Lead me. Show me the way. I know I want to do to become a teacher, but is that what you want of me? Show me that which you want of me. Yes, I'm thinking I maybe want to study in Egypt, but is that your will? Show me your way. Each day when you wake up and you say, God, I don't know what to do. Move my steps. Let me meet the people that you want me to meet. Anyone that is not of you, take him away. Anyone that is not of your plan, remove them. When you start praying such prayers, that boyfriend that you thought loved you so much will start one day and call you. You're very stupid. It is just God removing them. He's just removing the wrong things from your side. Why? Because you have yielded to him. You need to yield to the Spirit of God within you. He is not far away from you. You know, many people want prophets to speak to them. But he said that in the last days I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. He says, your young men shall prophesy. So who is the prophet? Say me. When the Spirit of God is the spirit of prophecy. What is prophecy? Prophecy is taking from the mind of God and speaking it to people. So, the Spirit of God inside you takes what is of God, reveals it to you. It can be something for the present. It can be something of the past. It can be something of the future. Why? Because he's an eternal spirit. He can show you something in your generation that you need to cancel and break. And you start praying against that and it breaks. It can be something in the future. He shows you an accident coming. And you will just sleep. You will enter into that accident. But if he shows you something, it is something that he has revealed to you so that you can partner with him in prayer to break it. God does not just reveal things for fun. He reveals things to those who have the responsibility to partner with him. Why? Because God says we are co-workers with him. That means when he brings us into union with him, when he makes us one with him, it is like a marriage. A husband and a wife. If the wife does not submit to the husband, will that home stay? No. But if the wife submits to the husband will be looking at the wife and say, this woman loves me. Let me buy her a new dress. Or as you are going home, as a husband, you say, but what is missing in the house? You bring some bread, you bring some meat. Why? Because you have a wife that is submitted to you. It's just like a child. If a child is obedient to you, that child will never lack school fees. You will struggle as a parent to ensure they get the best school that you can afford. Now think of your father who loves you more than any other earthly father. He says that if you though are wicked, you know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more of your heavenly Father give to those who ask of him of the Holy Spirit? That means that the greatest gift that God can give you is his Spirit. Who is he saying, the greatest gift I can give you is me, myself. Because the Holy Spirit is God himself. Jesus was on the earth. He was showing us an example. If you are a man, with the Spirit of God, you can heal the sick. That's why he says, you go and heal the sick. He does not say you go and pray for the sick to be healed. He says, you are the healing. Why? Because you carry the life of God in you. That means the life, the very presence of God is in you. That means that you are the reason why your family is blessed. Some children are the reason why their parents have jobs even though they are wicked. Because God knows that there's my child there. That child needs provision. The man is a drunkard, but anyway, let him drink for now. The moment the girl is not able to stand, that job finishes. Because that person is there for you. Some men are blessed just because of their wives. Who are believing God. But the day they decide to go and for side dish, then everything they thought they have, they lose it all. Because they did not realize that God was only faithful to them because of his daughter or because of his son. The reason why South Sudan will stay, no matter who is in power, is because they are children of God here. The reason why this ministry will continue, whether people desire or they don't come, is because they are children of God here. That's why I said, don't look at others. Just be where the word of God is taught. Why? Because the word of God is a seed. And every time you want to grow, what do? You plant. That means that the more you want more of God, the more you take of his word. When he says that you might be filled with all the fullness of God, is the word of God that fills you, that you become to be more full of God. Everything Jesus answered, he will say, it is written. It is written. You want to grow as a son because the Bible says the child, as long as he's still a child, he's not different from a slave. Even though he's the owner of all things. God wants to give you all things, but he cannot give you when you're not ready. Galatians 4:1-4, the child as even though he's the owner of all things, he's not different from a slave. Why? Because the child, the child is always crying, God, I want this, God, I want this. But when you become a child, you ask your father, what can I bring in this house? Mature sons are serving God. They're not just coming to sit and to be fed. They're not just coming to church to what can they receive from this church. They're coming to ask, what can I do in this church? What is missing? Because when you are a mature son in your home, when you go to the supermarket, when you have been paid your salary, you go and do shopping first and you bring home. That day your father knows, now I have a mature son. But when your son is paid and you just hear him is in Spotify buying drinks for people and eating pork, you know you still have a child in the house. And you know you will suffer. True or false? Yeah, because there are many people who are 30, who are 40, but only 80% of their salary is drunk and urinated. Because the only place alcohol goes is it destroys your liver and you urinate it. Nothing else. Now those are children. God is looking for sons. And sons who will take responsibility. Sons who will represent him. Sons who he can say, this is my beloved son with whom I am well pleased. This is my beloved son with whom I am well pleased. Hear him. This is my beloved son. Let all angels worship him. That means he's moving from just my son with whom I'm beloved. Then he now says, he's no longer just my beloved son. He says, now people hear me. Hear him. Then beyond that, he now says, now beyond even the earth, even you angels worship him. You are the son of God that God expected on the earth. Our God is so vast that he is not scared that he can give you his spirit. He's not worried that you will fail while he will help you. You just don't know what to do. But the Bible says you don't even know what to pray for. He says that his spirit helps you. We do not know what to pray for, but he intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. That means there's a time you are praying and even English disappears and you just start groaning in the spirit. Why? Because at that point it's no longer you that is praying, but it is the spirit of God praying through you. And the Bible says, he that knows the mind of God intercedes for us according to the will of God. So young people, you can choose to be an Adam or you can choose to be a Christ. You can choose to be an old creation or you can choose to be a new creation. You can choose to be born of a husband's will, born of flesh, or you can choose to be born of God. And the Bible says, he that is born of God overcomes the world. That's why when you are born of God, you are more than a conqueror. You are more than a conqueror. That means you don't live in fear. Because the Bible says that he that fears is not perfected in love. Because perfect love casts out fear. That means you have nothing to fear of your future. What is there to fear? God is with you. He says that even before you ask him, he knows what you need. Even before you ask of him, he has answered you. That is why, as a new creation, you cannot be possessed by the devil. How can the spirit of God and a demon live inside? It's not possible. One has to live. When light enters, darkness. The Bible says, resist the devil. Submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil. He's not telling God to resist on your behalf. He's telling you, resist the devil. And what will he do? He will flee. Now what of wizards? What of witches? What of demons? They are under their master. If their master is running away, then they should be taking a helicopter to run. Their master is running on foot, then they should hire a tuk-tuk to run. Because they are junior to their man. True or false? The question is, do you believe? That's why Jesus asked, who has believed our message? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Believing in Jesus is a revelation. And Jesus said, no one can come to me except that I call them. You did not choose me, but I chose you. The fact that you understand this, that means that God chose you and God loves you. And he has finished and determined your destiny. He said that it is him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence with great joy. In the last day, our going to heaven is not based on our human effort. It's not because we were righteous. It's not because we fasted. It's not because we did anything. It's just because we came and joined ourselves to Christ. And Christ says, I will present you as a bride without spot, without blemish. Why? Say, this one is my wife. I died for him. Parents know this. Even if their child is a thief, they say, judge, don't kill him. This one is my child. True or false? Even when the child is, when the criminal is being beaten there, by the mother will jump and cover and say, don't kill, this one is my child. It's my only child. This is what God will do for us in the final day of judgment. He will say, this one, yes, he was struggling, but he's my child. I died for him. So don't look at yourself. Just look at what Christ has done. And say, I believe. That's why Moses said, just as the snake was lifted up, anyone who looked at the snake lived. In the same way, the Son of Man will be lifted up. That anyone who believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting. Our job is to believe. And not only believe, keep believing. And when you believe, what happens? You start to live. You be and you live. You are first made a new creation, then you live as a new creation. You are made holy, then you live in holiness. You are made righteous, then you just find yourself walking to righteousness. People bring an option, do you go and drink? You're like, you are not going. Why? Because when you're a slave of sin, you're under the control. And now God says you're a slave of righteousness. That means whatever you do is ending up in righteousness. Whatever God has called you, you must become. Amen? Whatever God has said must become. So if he says you're the righteousness of God, whether the devil likes it or not, your end result is what? The righteousness of God. When he says you're conformed to the image of Christ, that means that the end result of you is the image of Christ, whether the devil likes it or not. So don't think that you are nothing. You are great. You are a son of God. And know him. Know who you are. And each day wake up and say, Father, I thank you that everything I have is provided. Whatever I need, you know it before I ask. Wherever I need to be, you will make it possible. Whoever I need to meet, you will make it. Whoever needs to be part of the ministry will come. Whatever provision I need is coming. Whoever is my husband, I know you are preparing him. My job is ready. It's just for me to wake up and go into the office. In fact, when I appear, they say, where have you been? We have been waiting for you. You are the one who delayed. You are being harassed here by fake people. Has your boss never told you that? Please don't resign. That means there is something about you. That is not just how you do that job. But there is something, you do it like, if God was doing it, God would have done it. There is something about God in you, as a child of God, that makes you, your face shine. Moses was coming out from meeting God and his face was shining. You go and apply for an interview. You don't know why they selected you, but because that which is of God started shining in the paper. And they're like, but this person does not have any history. Anyway, let me just put it. Then when you open your mouth, you answer one question.
I was listening to someone, there's a lady, she was giving me the testimony.
She went for this, they call the National Youth. And now everyone was being asked questions. They were lined up, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. They asked the first person a question in biochemistry. The person, nothing. Then she just prayed, God, let them not ask me any question. So they asked this person the question, they asked the next person, they asked the next person, they came to her, they jumped her. They asked the next person, they asked the next person, they asked the next person, and then they said, go, the interview is over. Then she went and told the husband, but I was not asked any question. Let the husband ask, but what did you pray? She said, I pray, let them not ask me any question. So will I pass or I don't pass? When the list came out, she was number one on the list. She was number one on the list. Why? Because there's something about God in you. Someone will look at you because you are black, or because you have marks on your skin, or because you are fat, because you are thin. That is nothing. Because the Bible says, greater is the one that is in you than he that is in the world. Just the other day, was it yesterday? I was driving someone's car. You know, I tried to make sure I have all the documents. But then the fire extinguisher I had been given, kumbe it was zero. Then this guy, he blocks me. And you know, you cannot run away. Because now if they start chasing you, man of God is being chased away with the policeman on the motorbike. How is it? Right? Then the man, he brought me, where are the documents? I showed him. I said, where is the kifaya certificate I gave him? Where is the cylinder itself? I said, this guy is really looking for trouble. Then I went and checked this. And he saw the cylinder, you see, is zero. That means this sticker, this cylinder is not working. Then he said, the fine is 25,000. I was in Bodio, I confirmed. Then I came and sat down. Then I looked at this. I said, I don't give bribes. If we are going, we are going to the police station. I will pay there if the fine is there. But then, I said, God. Then he looked at me. Then I told him, Daniel, you are my brother. I have been paying all these documents. Even this one I paid yesterday. I have finished all my money. Find me another day. I just told him, we will meet another day. Then he said, you are a good man. Take your money and go. What is it that he saw? Because someone else, he will make sure he removes that money. But there's something that God puts on us that makes your face shine. And the Bible says it shines better than Moses. Because Moses was fading away. But the glory of God of the new covenant, he says we are increasing with an ever-increasing glory. That even on the day when men are supposed to judge you, they show you mercy. God will show you miracles, not just healing of ears or of eyes. Even in your office, there are miracles. Even in business, there are miracles. Even in job applications, there are miracles. Even in scholarships, there are miracles. Why? Because you don't deserve it. If you are to be judged on your own merit, you don't deserve it. But when you are judged as a new creation under Christ, you say, how can you deny Jesus? He might curse us. The fig tree was asked for fruit. It refused. Cast him, and the thing died. Now, let me give you something that will spoil your mind. If Jesus spoke to the tree, and the tree obeyed, what is money? Money is made of what? Money is made from what? Money is made from what? You don't know? Hey, that's all you're for. Money is made from what? Money is made from? From the tree. From paper. What is paper made from? Tree. That means you can, if Jesus could speak to the tree, you can also speak to Manu. And Manu will hear you.
Ah, you wake up and pray. I'm finished preaching. Makara.